heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter number 60. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Hosea the second chapter and the first 13 verses. Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hosea chapter 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, saith the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-sufficient God of the heavens and of the earth, that we may be gathered together in this morning of thy day, and thou knowest the place where we may gather in this morning, and what is our intention if thou wilt spare us for the weeks to come. O Lord, then we ask of thee that thou wilt make it for us a little sanctuary. For it is not in the building wherein we are, but it is in the presence of thee. And thy Holy Spirit, could it please thee then to give us to experience thy nearness and thy felt presence in this day and in these weeks. And may thou gather together with us, that it may all be in thy favor. It is thy Sabbath day, and we attempt to draw nigh unto thee. Lord, wilt thou hear us. And we do not deserve that we should be heard by thee. We were created in thy communion. There we did speak unto thee, and thou didst speak unto us, and there was a blessed communion, and we have broken it by our own sin. We ask of thee, Lord, now to hear us as those who do not deserve it anymore. And thou sayest unto us to hear thee, to hear my word, to walk in my ways. But thou knowest what our life is and what our hearts are by nature. And also, so often after receive grace, that we have no desire for thee, or for the knowledge of thy ways, and that even thy children, they can leave thee so easy in their place and go on in the midst of this world, oh, sometimes even worse than the heathen. And then we ask of thee to hear us. We ask of thee to lend thou thine ear. Lord, we do not deserve. And yet thou sayest in thy word, to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that there that thou might find help in time of need. Oh, could it be in that in this morning, thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and may it open thine ears to hear our supplication. And what have we to ask of thee, Lord? We need everything. We need everything for the time, and we need everything for eternity. O Lord, we ask of thee for a new heart, young and old. Thou knowest how that we have commemorated thy holy supper in the weeks that have gone by. And then there were a few who could testify before God and men that they are not strangers of that work, even if it may be in such a little way. And then the greatest part of us, Lord, then we have to confess before God and men, and that we are strangers thereof. And we go, Lord, to a great eternity. Oh, we ask of thee in this morning hour for a new heart. We ask of thee life, Lord. Thou art able to give it unto us, each and every one. And we travel quickly to our eternal destination. We know not what a day may bring forth. And traveling in that state wherein we have been born, and then any moment, then we can drop into that eternal abyss where hope shall never come. O Lord, wilt thou bind upon the heart of each and every one, young and old, the seriousness of our life, that we travel to eternity. O, give to us a little impression in our heart of that place where we have come from, and a place where we are going. How that we were created, and how deeply we have fallen. Oh, that there may be a place, a little inner chamber, in the heart, in the home of each and every one. A place where fathers and mothers, they are going to bring their children and their own soul before the living God. Oh, to plead with thee for their offspring, for the need of their own soul. Oh, a place also where those who have become older, they are going from day to day to beseech thee, as the time is quickly hastening away, and to say, O Lord, I have given my life to the world. I have given my heart to the service of the devil. I have turned my back to thee. A place of repentance. A place of a great need. O Lord, who can work it? Who can give it unto himself? Who can show to himself his wretched state and condition?
Who can give himself a love for his creator, his maker? Now we stand. Oh, we have come before thy face, setting aside according to thy command all this world, all our labors for a moment, that we may consider thee. Oh, could it please thee then to come by thy Spirit, to take a word out of thy holy book in this morning hour, and to work a miracle in the heart of young and old. Oh, Lord, we do not ask for one. Oh, if it could be one. Oh, Lord, we ask for all, because thou art a great God, and thou art able to do great things. And there is a fountain, and that is open to the house of David. Oh, could it please thee to wash away all our sins. Remember all the needy ones, and all those that suffer from difficulties and cares, all the consequences of our sins. Give them a cry to thee, help from above. Remember the lonely ones, those that miss their loved ones. Oh, help them, Lord. Give them a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Remember all the children, the youth of our congregation. Oh, could it please thee to give them in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. And wilt thou look upon us in this hour? Oh, help to bring thy word. Strengthen us. Give us liberty. Give us opening. And wilt thou give us ears to hear? Give us a good hour together in thy favor. With thy blessing, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 437, all three stanzas. And no longer, Lord, despise me, nor in thy wrath chastise me. Thy mercy I implore. How long thine anger cherish, consumed thereby I perish. My soul is troubled sore. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 437. And we announce only that the consistory meeting, that is not Thursday evening, the Lord willing, but that is this coming Wednesday evening, 437, all stands.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Hosea chapter 2, and thereof the last part of verse 7. Hosea 2, verse 7, the last part. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. So far the words of our text. And it is a prophecy of the first beginnings of repentance, which we want to consider with the Lord's help in two thoughts. First, in three thoughts. First, the sin to be repented of. Second, the worker of this repentance. And third, the evidences of this repentance. A prophecy of the first beginnings of repentance. First, the sin to be repented of. Second, the worker of this repentance. And third, the evidences of this repentance. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. Who is speaking these words, congregation? That is the prophet Hosea. He is a prophet that is prophesying to the kingdom of Israel, that is the northern kingdom. It is the kingdom of the 10 tribes. He has prophesied, we can read in the beginning of this prophecy, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, they were the kings of Judah. And also in the days of Jeroboam, that would be Jeroboam the second, who was the king of Israel. And what time was he prophesying? Well, in the very beginning of his prophesying, as he was prophesying along with contemporary to the prophets Amos and Isaiah, that was a very prosperous time in a political way. That was a time that the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, was actually at the very height of its glory. And that was a time that the boundaries of that kingdom, they were again extended as they were before under the king David and under King Solomon. However, then it was for 30 years after the death of Jeroboam the second that we know that there was anarchy. Our boys and girls know that from school. Then you learn the history also of the Bible, and then you know what it was in the end of the kingdom of Israel, how that one king after the other was slain, and the murderer, he was reigning in his stead. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. What does that mean? Well, Hosea, he speaks about returning to my first husband. That means there was a second husband. And if there was a returning to the first husband, that means that that first husband was still alive. When there was a second husband, and you know what that is, that is adultery. Thus, the Lord, by his prophet Isaiah, he is accusing his own children, the children of Israel, of adultery. He is offended. And why is he also offended? Because, congregation, he is the first husband. That is, in a symbolic way, not in a literal way, although there was also adultery, we hope to see that. But it was in a symbolic way that he is accusing them of this sin. We know, if you read in the first chapter of Hosea, that Hosea, he is commanded by the Lord to take unto himself a wife of whoredoms, of fornications. Whether that was literally or symbolically only, that has been a point of dispute for many ages. But it does not make a difference in what the meaning is. We read here, "Say ye unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts." What does the Lord say? The Lord says, "You are my wife, Israel, and I am your husband." And that means that I have brought you into a very special communion with me. I have made a bond between you and me, and you have broken that bond. You have left me for another husband. Plead with your mother. What does that mean? Then he makes a distinction between your mother and the children. So Hosea, he is speaking, as it were, to the children. Well, the mother, she cannot be separated from the children. But then by the mother, Isaiah is speaking about the whole nation of Israel. And by the children, then he is speaking to the individuals of that nation. And now Hosea, he says, plead with your mother, that nation as a whole has committed adultery. That nation as a whole has offended the Lord. But then it is not every individual of that nation. No, there were those of that nation who were very grieved by the sin of that nation. And now Hosea, he says, plead with your mother. Oh, then he says, plead with the other members of that nation. Plead with that nation itself. What is that sin? Because it is a symbol. What is that sin of which the Lord is symbolizing with this adultery, congregation, that began already in the beginning of that kingdom? It began with the manner already in which that kingdom was set up. Who was the first king of the northern kingdom, children? The first one. Say, there was Rehoboam, David, Solomon, and Rehoboam. And then under Rehoboam, then there was a split in that kingdom, right? And who was the first king of the 10 tribes? That was Jeroboam. And how did Jeroboam begin his reign in his kingdom? Well, he was afraid that all those people, they would go back to Rehoboam. And what did he do? He says you do not need to go up anymore to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And he has set up the golden calf, the calf in a den, and the calf in a Bethel. Then it was that northern kingdom that has rejected the priests of the Lord. We read that he made of the lowest of the people, the common people, he has taken out of them and he has made them priests unto the Lord. That means that he has rejected the Levitical priesthood that was given unto them by the Lord, the chosen servants of the Lord. Oh, it was a kingdom that has forsaken the house of David. Oh, the house of David. Well, who was that? That was the Messiah in promise, congregation. That was the promise that was made unto David, and that his seed should sit on his throne forever and forever. Thus, when they have rejected the house of David, then they have rejected the Messiah that was to come. And when they have rejected the temple of the Lord, then they have rejected the ark. They have rejected the mercy seat. They have rejected all that did foreshadow what the Lord had promised for the sake of his people. That was from the very beginning. And we can see from time to time, then there was a little turning. There was an outward repentance. There was a cleansing of the idols. There was a cleansing of the land. But it was only for a moment. And there was not from the heart. And they have gone back again. Oh, and then there was also a great immorality in the worshipping of the idols, in the worshipping of the Baal. Because then there was perversion, there was fornication, there was adultery, there was whoredom, there was great wickedness in that Baal worship. We read they have forsaken mercy, they have forsaken truth, they have forsaken the knowledge of God. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. As she that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Who is it? It is a people. It is a people with whom the Lord had covenanted. He says, it is my wife. It is my wife. Thus, I have made a marriage covenant with this people, and she has broken it. How many covenants are there respecting the eternal state of man? Our children. In catechism, our confession class students, they know that answer. They will tell me there are two covenants respecting the eternal state of man, boys and girls, the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. Oh, let us for a moment consider the first one, that covenant of works. And what has now the Lord to complain of concerning his creature in that first covenant? What has now the Lord to complain of? We can read it in the Bible. that he looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any that did see God. And what was his complaint? Then he says, I found none. None. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. Broken. Caught. And the second one. Oh, our young people, they will say it again. That one now cannot be broken. And you are right. It cannot be broken. Is that not now a wonder? That cannot be broken? No, not in its essence. It cannot be broken. And yet, in its outward form, it can be broken. We read of that in the Bible. That was in circumcision. That the Lord says, when they would not circumcise their children, that they have broken his covenant. And what has now the Lord to say of his people, with whom he has covenanted now a second time and taken them to be his wife? What must he say of them? How is that people of the Lord? Or must he not complain of them that they have left me days without number? Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Then it was better. When was it better? We want to see that in our second thought, the worker of this repentance. Do you know what we read in God's sheep? Like a lost sheep. You know what David asked? He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He says, seek thy servant. Seek thy servant. He does not say, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. But now I am returning. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. But now I've come back again. No. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. And that is now the experience of that church of God. Because that sheep, he cannot come back. He does not know how to come back once again. He needs to be sought out. Is it his duty to come back? Oh, yes. That is his duty. We all have that duty. Every creature of God has that duty to return again. And then especially those that are under the word that may hear of that duty. Oh, yes. That is our duty. That is our responsibility. But congregation, what is your experience? Or is there no experience? Or is your heart also crying out with David, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. O Lord, seek thy servant. How much work the Lord has to do to seek his servants, to seek his people, his elect for the first time, to seek his children for the second time, to seek out those who have left in that first covenant, to seek out those who have broken in the outward form also. That second covenant, how much work that the Lord has to do in order to bring His people to this place of our text. I will go and return to my first husband. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. So what is the Lord doing? To bring that people back. Or we read about thorns, the Lord. He is coming to hedge up that way, to put a bramble bush, a thorn bush, in the way of that people, to put a wall in front of their people. When they are trying to go on their path, on their evil way, on the way of departure from the Lord, never to return unto Him again. And it is now in the mercy of the Lord that the Lord, He is putting thorns in that way. Trials, tribulations, afflictions, persecutions, trouble, family, business, outward, inward. O congregation, what is now more merciful than when the Lord will hedge up the way of a sinner that he is not able to find the path that his heart desires to go in? What greater mercy could the Lord have shown unto Balaam than to send from heaven His angels and to say to him, go and stand now in the way of Balaam, that he cannot go forward? Oh, what a sin of Balaam to be pushing ahead and to be rebelling against the wall that the Lord had so mercifully placed in His way. O Adam, we read that children, when he sinned against the Lord and when he chose a different way, what did the Lord do? And then he sent thorns, thistles, to hedge up his way. Do you experience what they are? We are as children. We are as offspring. O congregation, every trouble, every affliction, every trial that ought to make us stop and consider and to ask, what is now the Lord saying unto me? What is now the path upon which I am traveling? What is now the way which my heart has chosen? What is now that thorn in that wall that the Lord is placing in my way? Oh, have you ever heard the voice of your first husband? Have you ever heard the voice of your Maker? Have you ever heard the voice of your Creator? In the trials, in the afflictions, in the troubles that are in this world. And when He is hedging up your way, the voice of your Maker that is saying, return, return unto me. And she shall follow after her lovers but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. What is it? It is the frustration of the purposes of man. That is walking in their own path. That has chosen the way of adultery. That has left her first husband. And it says that she is following. The word means actually to pursue. Oh, she is pursuing it. Oh, with ingenuity, with the mind, and with the heart, and with the life. Pursuing it, but not overtaking. Not overtaking life, because the Lord is frustrating it. He does not allow her to receive the desire of her heart because it is in the wrong way. And she shall seek it, but she shall not find it, because the Lord, He is standing in her way in His mercy. That is, that she will experience the futility of it. The uselessness of it, of continuing in that way, for she did not know, and that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Oh, corn and wine and oil, that they are the gifts from the Lord. They are directly from His hand. There is none upon earth that are able to give us corn and wine and oil outside of the providence of the Lord. And by that corn and wine and oil, the riches of the land, the Lord, He is also giving the silver and the gold, which they use for Baal. For Baal. They made Baal out of that silver. They made Baal out of that gold. They used that corn, that wine, that oil, that gold, that silver in the worship of Baal, in the service of Baal. And they have pretended, they have thought that those gifts, they have come from Baal himself. Oh, incredible. That is beyond words. The offense that they have given unto the Lord. Oh, can you follow it a little? Children, young people, which they use for Baal. The offense. How is it? With all the increase that we have been given, we have thanksgiving day. How is it? You know, we sing sometimes out of God's holy word. The praises of the Lord. I will my mouth implore. Or I will use my mouth, to sing the praises of the Lord. That what we use our mouth for, and our eyes, and our hands, and our ears, and our corn, and our wine, and our oil, and our gold. And our silver. Oh, congregation, what are you? What are you? Can we not place ourselves among these people adulteress. Say unto her, she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool, my flax, given to cover her nakedness. The Lord, he says, you regard them not as my blessing. So I take them away. I will remove them for your instruction. Sometimes naturally, famine, hunger, why? All to give them a little instruction to teach them. They come not from Baal. They come from me. They are my gifts. Samson, you know what he did. In the power of the Lord. And you know what he said. He said, with the jawbone of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. I have slain 1,000 men. Then what did the Lord do? The Lord instructed him. Oh, that took only a moment. And he was sore at first. Sore at first. And then suddenly, the honor was given unto the Lord. Oh Lord, thou hast given this great deliverance unto thy servant. That was the fruit of that withholding hand of the Lord. And that is not only in a natural way, but also in a spiritual way. Because God's children, sometimes, then it is, as Jeremiah says, that my soul, that is as a water garden. There are times in the life of that people that their soul, that is as a water garden. Asaph sang, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. Oh, that is a communion that is begun in this time state in the life of God's children. And there are times that they think that that communion that will never go away. David, he says, in prosperous days I boasted, unmoved I shall remain. He was wrong. He was wrong. Because he says it himself, I soon was sorely troubled, for thou didst hide thy face. And why? Why the Lord hiding his face from his children? O congregation, he afflicts not willingly. But there is a reason, there is a need. There is often an adultery. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool, and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lover, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees. Whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, as saith the Lord. O congregation, we have not time to speak about all of it, but they are the ways of the Lord. They are the ways of the Lord with His own children. They are the ways of the Lord with His own elect. For He is going after them. He is going after them because those sheep, they cannot come back. Or He is calling them. They say, if a man put away his wife and she become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted, saith the Lord? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Many lovers. Yet, return thou again unto me. For he is going after her. He is calling unto her. He is chastising her. He is setting up thorns, hedging up her way with a wall. Will it be effective? Is it resistible? What will be the fruits? Let us sing first. 122. 1, 2, and 3. Thou, Lord, hast forsaken, to shame brought our boasts. No more to the field dost thou go with our hosts. Thou turnest us back from the foe in dismay, and spoilers who hate us have made us their prey. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 122. Thank you. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. What is it? It is, congregation, the fruit. It is the fruit of the operation of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of that irresistible work of God in the hearts of His elect, in the hearts of His children. The Lord Jesus spoke a parable about a prodigal son. There was a man who has rebelled, who has left, who has turned his back unto his father, and who has taken all of his inheritance that he has received from his father, that he may go with that inheritance and that he may live with it in the enjoyment of this world. And it is the Lord who did not permit him to continue in his way. He hedged up his way with thorns. He took away his corn, his wine, and his oil. And when he himself would go to spend all his living in a riotous way. And what do we read? That he was sent into the field to feed the swine, and would fain have filled his belly with those husks that the swine did eat. He pursued, he followed after his lovers, but he could not find them. He sought them, and he could not find them. And congregation, what took place there? Oh, what took place in that swine pen? And when he was sitting there, in that well-deserved wretchedness, in that well-deserved misery, do you know what took place there? We read in the Bible that he came unto himself. That is the place that the fruit of the work of the Lord began to manifest itself, not in an outward way. It began inside, and he came unto himself. In that moment, that man received his right mind again. We read about a Manasseh. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And where was he? That was in the prison. O congregation, is there a people also in our midst who have experienced what it is to come unto yourself? All the moment that man came unto himself, what do we read? Oh, then his thoughts, they are going back. Then his thoughts are going back again where? They are going back again unto his father's house. That is now what we read here in the words of our text. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband.
Solomon, in the dedication of the temple of the Lord, then he was looking forward to the future of that people. And even as a prophet of the Lord, then he has prayed for that people. And he has prayed unto the Lord for that people when they would be sitting as captives under the power and under the strength and under the dominion of their enemies. And what did he ask the Lord? Oh, he asked the Lord for a people that shall bethink themselves. That shall bethink themselves in the land of their enemies. Oh, congregation, how is it? Is there a people also in our day? Because there were not so many among us. That could come several weeks ago to testify that you are not a stranger of that work of the Lord. But, oh, we wonder, are there boys and girls, are there children, are there fathers, are there mothers among us that do experience something of how that you have departed from the living God? Oh, we wonder if there are yet those that do bethink themselves in that land, and whither you are carried away captive. And when you are sitting under the dominion of that prince of darkness, and unable to deliver yourselves out of the grip of Satan, whether there is now a people that are bethinking themselves in this land. And then your thoughts, they will be going back. Because when it is of the Lord, then your thoughts, they will go back. That is what we read here. And then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then it was better with me than now. Oh, she makes a comparison. She looks at how it is. She sees the way that she has chosen. And then she looks back. And she sees what she has left. Oh, that prodigal. He looked back to the time that he was still in the house of his father. And he says, how many servants, hired servants of my father, they have bread enough and to spare. And I perish with hunger. Oh, is there a people in this day? Oh, is there a people also that look back? Look back to your creation. Look back to your Maker. And do see what you have left. And I call yourself a thousand fools to say that I have chosen vanity over substance, that I have desired stones instead of bread, and that I have hearkened unto Satan rather than unto God. O congregation, how different it was when the Lord did create us, and when we were in the blessed favor, when we were in the blessed communion with the Lord. Oh, what would we do without the communion of one another? Oh, you love your husband, you love your wife. And how is it when that is broken? And by the cold hand of death, then there is such a message. Oh, is there a people who feel how broken that it is? Oh, that it is an adultery. And that I have left my Maker. And I have left a favor and a communion that is actually bliss. It is bliss. Created in His image. Oh, created that I may speak unto the living God. And that He may speak unto me. And that He may tell unto me what is His will and His heart. And that I may speak it also unto Him. O congregation, how solemn He says, when they shall bethink themselves in that land whither they are taken captives. And when they shall repent. When they shall repent. Then they shall have a change of mind. When they shall have a change of heart. When they shall have sorrow. When they shall have grief. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. I will go and return. The congregation, they are only heroes. But I cannot tell you what is laying in those words. There are a few words, and the riches that are in those words. I will go and return. It is not to be comprehended. Not to be comprehended. Why not? Because there is the thought of return. Oh, just the thought. The thought of return. As the people, they are sitting in that swine pen. What is it for that people? Without God in the world. Without God. In my misery. And now that thought. Oh, just the thought of returning. Whatever in you. Do you know where that thought is no more? That thought, congregation, is what distinguishes, it is what separates this people, the misery that people experience from those that are damned in hell. Because there is no thought of returning anymore. None. That is the difference. All just that thought in that place after that time is cut off and when the people shall sink away, that is a place, congregation, where hope shall never come. This I will go and return. All without yet a change in the circumstances. Nothing changed yet. Sitting there in her misery. That thought that is keeping that people alive. Oh, just that thought is what is keeping that people from despair. From despair. Where does that thought come from? Of returning. It comes, congregation,
from a triune God. Triune God. It is thought out by the Father. It is bought by the Son. In a perfect act of obedience and upon a cursed tree. And it is planted in the heart of that people, in the heart of that people, by the Holy Spirit, so that they do not despair. That hope, the possibility of being delivered and of going back again. Does she have much to learn? The Lord will spare us. Oh, we hope we can go a little further. She has much more to learn. She does not know how to go back. She will have to see that. But do you know what we see here? The Lord is upholding His people. He is not a land of outer darkness. Even from the very beginning, in the life of His children, or congregation, we have to close. Are there also some here? Answer that. Answer that, not to me. I hope I may hear it someday from you. Answer that in this morning. Between you and the Lord. Oh, is there a people here among us that the Lord hedges up your way? That He does not let you just go. That He puts thorns in your way. That He puts a wall. So that you cannot continue in the choice of your heart. Does He frustrate your purpose? So that in all your desire to find your happiness in this world fails. It fails. Oh, is there a people whose heart that sometimes grieves, whose heart goes back again to your first husband? To your Maker, to your Creator, that you say, "Oh, it was better with me then than it is now." And is there now a people who sometimes, when you are sitting in your own home, when you are all by yourself. You ever do that, children, young people? Without all that access to the world and to the world wide web. You ever go by yourself? That it is only between God and your soul. Is there now ever a people whose thought is, could I return? Or are there those that experience the strength in that hope, in that possibility? Just a possibility maybe even for such a one as I am. Oh, do you know what the Lord says? Hosea, later. He says, come. Come, he says, and let us return. Oh, come. And let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. A congregation, there is an ocean of grace, a sea of grace. A sea of blood, for a fountain of iniquity. That is the declaration of the Lord. Your sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But it is only declared on this side of the grave, where there is still hope. And where there is still a possibility that we may say, I will go and return. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, there is so much also more, also for thy children. For thou knowest how that they grieve thee, and how we needed.